to welcome everybody. I'm sorry for the delay, and a special welcome to Tzvi Chonto in London. Okay, I'm going to record this for those who want the recording afterwards, and then we'll send it on to, I'll send it on to Avraham Wellens, and he'll post it on the group. Okay, whoever's hosting, if you could just make sure, please, everybody is muted, and we're about to begin. I can see a few people are not yet muted. Okay, we're going to begin.
It seems like the recording may have begun several minutes ago, so you may want to, I don't know if you can stop it and start it.
Right, I'm going to send out my recording anyway to Avraham Wellens. It's clearer always than the recording on the Zoom, and I'll send that out. Okay, we're going to begin 5 seconds. Bruchim Aboim, as we begin this evening, a three-part series, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, ahead of the upcoming Moed of Tisha B'Av. We've just now begun the period called Bein HaMetzorim. Bein HaMetzorim is so called because of the Pasuk. It's based on the Pasuk in Eicha, towards the beginning of the Eicha, and it says, Golso Yehuda Me'oini. Yehuda has been exiled, afflicted. And then it says, Kol Roid Fea Hisiguha. All those who pursue it, reach it. Everybody seems to be able to attack and overcome Klal Yisrael Bein HaMetzorim. That's the Lashon of the Pasuk. And Rashi says there, Bein HaMetzorim, the word Metzah is offense. So Bein HaMetzorim, Rashi says, Sheyesh Goiva Mikan Umikan. There are offenses on either side. Ve'ein Mokoim Lonus, and there's no escape. This was the feeling at the time of Churban, that Klal Yisrael were totally oppressed, persecuted, with nowhere to escape. And then Rashi adds, Medrash Agoda. The Medrash tells us that Bein HaMetzorim means Bein Shiva Osar B'Tamuz L'Tisha B'Av. Those are the Metzorim, which means Metzar Gvul. This period of Bein HaMetzorim is delineated by Shiva Osar B'Tamuz in the beginning and Tisha B'Av at the end. This period of Tkufa Bein HaMetzorim, we still have to recall that first pshat in Rashi. Rashi is not falling away from that pshat, that it is a period of feeling fenced in, cramped. That's Bein HaMetzorim. And it is no wonder, therefore, that in the very first siman in Shulchan Aruch, you open up the Shulchan Aruch, Eir HaChaim, Siman Aleph, and it says, Ro'u l'kol yorei shomayim. It is appropriate for anybody who is a Yoresh Shomayim sheyehei meitzar v'doyeg al churban beis hamikdash. Meitzar from the word tsar, to feel cramped. Min hameitzar karosiko. So it's ro'u for every Yoresh Shomayim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, quoting a Rosh, to feel meitzar, again from this phrase of bein hametzorim. And in fact, the Rosh, who is the source of the Shulchan Aruch, says that every Yorei Shomayim should be Meitzar V'Doyeg, should cry over the Churban Beis Hamikdash, especially at night. We learn from the Pasuk, Kumi Roini Balayla. And the Mishnah Berurah there talks at great length about the concept of Tikkun Chatzos. And he says, the correct way to do it is to get up at Chatzos, slightly before Chatzos, and involve yourself the whole night long, and then be Oisek Batayra. And indeed, this used to be the way. It was a common spread minhag, widespread even amongst what we would quote, Pshutei Am, Poshutei Yidin, quote unquote. Tikkun Chatzos was very much part of their Seder Hayom. All because the Shulchan Aruch, quoting Rosh, says that you should feel Meitzar V'Doyeg, you should feel cramped and in pain, and boxed in over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. in our little mini series over the next 3 weeks, we would really like to address the question, and today therefore will be an introduction to the coming 2 weeks of Mitzvah Shem. We don't perhaps want to ask ourselves an honest question, which is, do we feel mitzar v'doyeg? Do we feel extremely distressed? Do we feel cramped, boxed in, bein hamatzorim? As we look forward to the summer vacation, we just have to get the 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av done with, and then we can get on with life. Or do we feel cramped? Do we feel bitzar over relative pettiness? That's really what gets us upset. Let me quote to you some frightening words in a drosha in the Chasam Sofer that he said towards the end of his life, and he gave the moshel. These are his words. He says, moshel, can you imagine somebody who's a very dignified person, and all of a sudden, overnight, he's completely stripped of all of his dignity. Not only that, everything he owns, bandits, robbers broke into his home and took it all. Not only that, his father and mother and relatives all passed away. All of that happened in one day. And he's crying and yelling over what? That when they came into his house, they took away a toy. They all look at him and they say, Al hashoita hazeh, this fool. That's what you're crying about? You've just lost your honor, your dignity, your home, your possessions, your family, and you're crying at the fact they took away a toy of yours. Oy lezeh hashoita. He seems to have even his seichel taken away from him, said the Chasam Sofer. That's the moshel. I think the nishol goes without saying. Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, as the Chasam Sofer writes, even Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were not Zoicha. Klal Yisrael were, they weren't. And you had the Mishkan, and you had the Kohenim, and you had the Nevi'im. And all of that, in a moment of chipozen and Tisha B'Av, got taken away. The kol kach netamtem sichleinu. Are we so foolish she'enonu boichin? We don't cry, we don't mourn al kol elu. The only thing that upsets us, says the Chasam Sofer, is aveidat rechusheinu. If somebody, chas v'sholom, scratches our car, then we get very upset. Then we feel meitzar v'doyeg. Oh, big balagan. I feel very cramped. I've got to now contact the insurance company. It's going to cost me time and effort and energy. And he concludes and he says, v'alzeh yesh livkos. So therefore, you should cry about that. How can it be shenetamtein sichleinu, that our seichel has become so foolish, shaloi lahovim kol elu? If you can't cry about the churban, then you should cry over the fact that you can't cry over the churban. And in fact, it's a medrash. The medrash says, Yirmiyahu Novi says, al eila ani boichir, I cry about the following, eini, eini, yordo mayim. Why the double loshen, eini, eini? So perhaps we think, because the person's got two eyes, both of my eyes cry water. But the Medrash says, no. A moshel to the doctor who tells his patient, I'm afraid to tell you that one of your eyes has gone. Eini tivke al eini. One eye cries over the other. One eye cries over the fact that the other eye can't see anymore. In other words, Yirmiyahu Novi was foreseeing there would come a time when the eye would not cry anymore. When the Beis HaMikdash would be long forgotten, says the Yirmiyahu Novi, that's why the other eye is crying. He's crying over the fact that the first eye is not crying in the first place. Somebody once came to the Rosh Hashiva, Godel HaDoyer of Steinman, and he said, you know, every year, he said to the Rosh Hashiva, I come to Tisha B'Av and to be perfectly honest, I don't really feel any avelus for the Beis HaMikdash at all. I try every year. to be ma'oirer some feelings of avelus, meitzar v'doyeg bein ha-metzorim, and I don't really feel anything. So Shemin said, Beseda, so you should cry about that then. You should cry about that, cry that you don't feel avelus over the Beis HaMikdosh. Eini, eini, one eye cries over the fact that the other eye doesn't. The Medrash tells us, also in Eicha, that there was a certain posuk in the Megillah of Eicha where Rabbi Yochanan had 60 different interpretations of the posuk. 60 interpretations. That was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi only had 24. Why? So the Gemara in the Medrash says, because Rabbi Yochanan lived closer to the time of the Beis HaMikdosh. It was more real. So Eicha was more real. So we had that much more interpretations of the Pasuk. So what does that say for us? We feel very distant. We feel very removed from the Beis HaMikdosh and the avoida of being meitzar v'doyeg over the Beis HaMikdosh. The problem is that we get stuck in a loop. Because Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, that the reason why our golos is in fact so long is because we don't mourn over the Beis HaMikdosh. So it's a catch-22 situation. The longer the golos goes on, the harder it is for us to mourn the Beis HaMikdosh. The less we mourn over the Beis HaMikdosh, the longer the golos is. The longer the golos is, the less we mourn. So we get stuck in a rut. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if that would be our only avera, she'ein misablin al Yerushalayim karo, that we do not mourn appropriately the Beis HaMikdash, that would be die, that sufficient avera, laharich goloisenu, to elongate our golos. And he says, very frightening words, v'hi be'enai, in my opinion, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this is the Sibba HaYoyser Gluya V'Chazoka. This is the most obvious and most powerful reason why we have all the Hashmodos, all the terrible annihilation, persecution, torture. Why have there been pogroms? Why have there been a Holocaust? Why have Klal Yisrael been so tormented over the years? And the answer is because Shochachnu es Yerushalayim. And we're very happy, shoiktim, silent, be'eretz loilonu. Mi v'mi hamis abel. Who can genuinely say, asks Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that we really feel meitzar v'doig, I feel cramped, I feel that my life is not what it should be. Life is just fine. As I busy polish my two cars, plan my summer vacation, nothing's missing. How many tears have we shed over this? Unlike the Heilige Chassam Sofer, a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer once viewed through the keyhole, he saw how the Chassam Sofer prepared for Tisha B'Av. As he cried and cried and collected the tears in a small kli and then dipped his bread in the Suda Mafsekes in those tears. It's a good thing that there's no Sif in Shulchan Aruch that says that that's what we have to do. We might well be hard pressed to dip the bread into tears. Which tears? What tears? The only tears is if Chas V'Shalom Tisha B'Av interferes with our summer vacation. Tisha B'Av falls early this year, falls late this year. It's a balagan, it's in the middle of the week, beginning of the week. Vacation apartments are more expensive, less expensive. They're cancelling flights, they're not cancelling flights. So, Eini Eini Yerdomayim, Yirmiyahu Novi says that one eye has to cry over the fact that the second eye is not crying. So we come back to that Shulchan Aruch that we began with. Kol Yorei Shomayim has to be meitzar v'doyeg, has to feel cramped and concerned about Churban HaBayis, says the Chiddush Yehorim, why does the Shulchan Aruch say every Yorei Shomayim should be misabal over the Churban? Doesn't say that about Shachris or about Lulav or Matzah. It just says this is what you have to do. Every person, not just a Yorei Shomayim. Says the Chiddush Yehorim, because if you're not a Yorei Shomayim, then you should first cry over that. Never mind Beis HaMikdash. You're not lacking a Beis HaMikdash. You're lacking basic ruchnius. You should first cry over that. Ra'u liyos meitzer v'doyeg al zeh atzmoy, says the Chiddush Yehorim. If you're a Yorei Shomayim, and you're doing okay in your ruchnius, then it's appropriate for you to be meitzer v'doyeg over the Churban. The Gemara tells a story in Bava Kamma Daf Nun Tes. Eliezer was wearing black shoes and he was walking around in the marketplace. They approached him and said, why are you wearing these black shoes? Apparently that was not normally the custom. A very morbid color. So he says, because I'm being misabel over Yerushalayim. That's why I'm wearing black. So they said to him, really? Are you so choshev that you can be misabel over Yerushalayim? Are you that prominent? Are you such a tzaddik that you can be misabel over Yerushalayim? And he said, yes. Gavra rabo ano. Indeed, he recognized his own qualities. I'm a great person. I can be misabel over Yerushalayim. So the Gemara seems to be telling us that only if you're a very great person, only if you're a Yorei Shomayim, can you be misabel over the Churban. But you open the Shulchan Aruch, Tisha B'Av is for everybody. It's for me, it's for you. It doesn't say there that a Yorei Shomayim should fast on Tisha B'Av. It doesn't say a Yorei Shomayim should observe the halachas of Bein HaMetzorim. So we seem to have a contradiction. Who can be misabel over Yerushalayim? Is it only a very great person like Eliezer? Is it only a Yorei Shomayim? Or is it for everybody? And the answer is, there is no contradiction. It's indeed a difficult avoida. And you have to be very great. You have to be a great Yorei Shomayim. You have to be on a very lofty level of ruchnius to honestly be able to say that the only thing missing in my life is the Beis HaMikdash. But besides for that, my ruchnius is just great, is just fine. But when it comes to the Bein HaMetzorim, for 3 weeks a year, then it's incumbent on everybody. Not just the great Gavra Rabo, not just the Yorei Shomayim. The Shulchan Aruch who told us that a Yorei Shomayim has to be misabel over the Churban was talking about all year round. Then you have to be on a lofty level. We're perhaps not on that level that it's appropriate to do Tikkun Chatzos every night. But when it comes to the Bein HaMetzorim, where there is intensified Siyata Dishmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us be misabel over the Churban if only we put in our efforts, then one doesn't need to be a Gavra Rabba. This is not strictly private property. This is public property. Every tkufa in the year, whether it's Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkos, has its shefa of Siyata Dishmaya. There is a Siyata Dishmaya that began yesterday that will last for 3 weeks. Anybody who wants to tap into it can and is obligated to tap into it. One doesn't need to be a Gavra Rabba. Everybody will fast on Tisha B'Av. Halavai, there shouldn't be one. But if there is, everybody fasts. Everybody observes the halachas of the 9 days and the 3 weeks. This, therefore, is our avodah as we begin now the Bein HaMetzorim, and this is why we set up this series for 3 weeks. Yes, eini eini yodomayim, one eye cries over the fact that the other eye doesn't. Yes, Rav Shteyman has to tell his shayel, if you don't feel anything over Tisha B'Av, then at least you should cry over that. But one doesn't need to be a Gavra Rabba. One doesn't need to be a Yoresh Shamayim to be Misabel over the Churban this time of year. Maybe all year round in the middle of Cheshvan and Shvat and Nisan, maybe that's a different proposition. So what is the key? What will help us as we prepare now for the Yom Tov? It's called a Moed on Tisha B'Av. We don't say Tachanun. How can we be helped in our Avodah, in our difficult Avodah of Avodas Bein HaMetzorim, to feel we really are boxed in, cramped in? Why indeed do we find it a difficult Avodah to put into practice? And how can we best position ourselves to be zeicher to the siyata d'shmaya that is undoubtedly available at this time of year? So I want to share with you a yesod, and like I mentioned before, this is all by way of introduction to the coming 2 weeks. I think everybody here remembers the very first Rashi in Parashas Acharei Mois. Acharei Mois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, Acharei Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron, following the death of his two oldest children, Nodav v'Avihu. So Rashi says, the famous Moshel, the patient comes to the doctor and says to him, I'm unwell. And the doctor says, if I were you, don't eat the following, do eat something else, it'll be healthy for you. Somebody else comes in describing the same type of symptoms and he says, again, eat this, don't eat something else, in order that you should not die kederech shemeis ployni like somebody else did, because he did not follow my instructions. Says Rashi, which of the two patients is more likely to follow instruction? Obviously the second. Obviously the second. Says Rashi, that's what it means. Acharei Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron. You've seen this in front of your own eyes. Now I'm giving you the following instructions. What is Rashi teaching us? Rashi is teaching us a tremendous yesod in all of our Avodas Hashem. But tonight we're trying to relate this specifically to the Bein HaMetzorim. This is a colossal yesod in our Avodas Hashem. During the time of the Churban, Novi after Novi after Novi after Novi was dispatched to warn Klal Yisrael of pending events. And what did it achieve? Nothing. Says the Gemara, when Haman approached Achashverosh and Achashverosh took off his ring, what did that achieve? Mass tshuva in Klal Yisrael. Esther Hamalka calls for a 3-day period of tshuva, en masse, tfilos, ta'anisim, and that brought about the Yeshua. What's the difference? The Gemara says the famous phrase, Gedoila hasoras tabas. Greater was that solitary action of removing Achashverosh's ring, more than all the Musa Droshes that 48 Nevi'im gave. And the answer is, and this is the Yesod, Avodas Hashem, Yiddishkeit, has to be real and has to be tangible. When a Novi tells you, this is what may happen one day, but I don't see it in front of my eyes, it's not tangible. It's in the air. It's a dover she'ein boi mamish. One day this could, would, should, maybe, perhaps will happen. But when Achashverosh removes his ring, and there it is, written a signed document that on Yud Dalad Ador, Klal Yisrael are being wiped out, that's very real. That's not theoretical. That's practical. And that moves Klal Yisrael. 48 Musa Drashas of the Nevi'im didn't move Klal Yisrael. It was in the air. If you don't repent, Klal Yisrael's Beis HaMikdash will be taken away. When? How? Why? Where? No details. So it's in the air. It's not real. It's not tangible enough. But if a ring is removed and there's a signed document, this is the date, this is the place, this is what's going to happen, then it's very real. This is an enormous yesod in Avodas Hashem. This is what Rashi is teaching us. Acharei mois shnei b'nai Aharon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send an instruction, if it's very real and very tangible, then it moves people. When the doctor says, I give you this instruction, I give you that instruction, and that will heal you, that's not very real. Who says? But when the doctor says, if you don't follow my instruction, you will die, like the person who came to my surgery yesterday. He did not follow my instructions. Unfortunately, he's passed away. That's very real. That has mamoshes. That's very tangible. And a person is moved by that. When we have to recall, for example, Yetzias Mitzrayim, what did Chazal say? Lo yomarti, elo b'shor shi'esh matzah u'moroir munochim lefonecha. Make it real. It's the most real, it's the most tangible evening of the whole year. I can literally relive the golos of Mitzrayim as I'm eating my moroir. It's not theoretical. B'shor shi'esh matzah u'moroir munochim lefonecha. Chayev odom. Leroy says, Atzmoy ki'ilu hu yotzom in Mitzrayim. A person has to view as he left Mitzrayim. Do you know what the Rambam adds? One word? Chayev odom liroys ki'ilu hu yotzom ato in Mitzrayim. It's current affairs. We're not just reliving history. There is a very famous question, which all the Rishonim grapple with. A fundamental theological question. We all know, we've all been told, that our job in Olam Hazeh is to understand that we're all here on temporary nature. It's a praise day. It's just an antechamber. It's a corridor towards Olam Haba. So why is there no mention of Olam Haba in the Torah? A huge question. If the whole tachlis of Olam Hazeh is as a lead up to Olam Haba, why is Olam Haba not mentioned, not described, not even hinted to in the Torah? And the answer is, the Kliyoka in Parshas Bechukosai quotes an Eben Ezra and he says, the Divrei HaOlam Haba, Lo yovinu echod mini elef. One in a thousand won't understand what Olam Haba. You don't understand what it is. You have no frame of reference. It's beyond human perception, in which case there's no point talking about it. It's not real. It's not tangible. The Chovas Havavos and Shara Bitochen says exactly the same. There is no purpose in describing, in talking about something, a concept, which is totally esoteric, which is totally beyond our grasp. It's not tangible. Avodas Hashem has to be real. Acharei mois shnei bnei Aharon. It's one of the most important Rashi's b'chol haTorah kula. Avodas Hashem has to be real. We don't commemorate, we relive. All of our Yomim Tovim are not commemorations. Chayev Odom Liroy says, Atzmoy, as if he's leaving Mitzrayim this very moment. This very moment. B'shor sheish matzah u'moror munochim lefonecho. It's real. I can taste the moror. I'm leaning beheseva. I can feel the cheirus. I'm not commemorating. I had an uncle in London, my wife's uncle, Sammy Homburger, Zichrona Livracha. The English contingent will all remember him. when he was redecorating his house, he moved into his home. He had non-Jewish builders, and he explained to them, could you please leave a designated area by the front door, Zecher l'Churban. I want that non-painted, non-plastered, non-wallpapered. And they said, really, why would you want to do that? It'll spoil the whole effect of the whole home. And he said, well, we had a temple in which there were sacrifices, could come close to God, and unfortunately, it got taken away, it got destroyed. So the non-Jewish worker said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear this. When did this happen? He said, about 2,000 years ago. The non-Jewish worker said, Mr. Homburger, can't you just let bygones be bygones? And you know something? He's 100% right. Bygones are bygones. If it was just a commemoration, then indeed it's a bygone. But it's not a commemoration. We relive the Churban every year during the period of Bein HaMetzorim. The Zecher l'Churban is not a commemoration. It is to reawaken real, tangible feelings. So when I see my wall unplastered, that's real. That's my matzo umara munochim lefonecho. I can't describe Olam Habo because it's not tangible. Avodas Hashem has to be real. It has to be tangible. It has to mean something. It has to be able to connect to it. There is a worldwide movement of green activists who are very concerned about the hole in the ozone layer. And they're going around from place to place trying to lobby governments and move lawmakers to warn them about the greenhouse effect. Why is it a very difficult struggle? Because it's not real. You tell somebody, you know, I don't think it's worth you driving in your car. You should take public transport. Yeah, but it's a big inconvenience. No, 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 because if you drive a car, there'll be carbon emissions, and in the year 2095, the world's temperature will go up by 4 degrees. Not to say that, talk to me there. It's not real. It's not tangible. When the effects of smoking were revealed, all of a sudden it took effect. People saw in front of them studies, results, people who died, Rahman al-Islam, from smoking, that caused a lot of people to stop instantaneously. Why? B'shoshish matza umoror munochim lefonecho. That's Achashverosh taking off his ring. That's not a Novi coming and saying, but if you do the following, this might happen to you in 30 years. No, no, no. I'll show you a choyle who died, says Rashi. Oh, that's very real. That's not bygones. That's not commemoration. That's reliving something that's very tangible. And that's why that Rashi is such a critical Rashi in all of our Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem has to be real. A Talmud once looked through the keyhole as he saw the great Mashkiach of Chatzka Levenstein learning Chumash Rashi, Parshas Beshalach, Kriyas Yamsuf, and he saw through the keyhole how Reb Chatzkel had piled up a pile of chairs on one side, another pile on the other side, and he walked in between them. So he was reliving Kriyas Yamsuf. He wasn't just learning the parasha and commemorating it. Some have a minig. On Leil HaSeder, they take the matzahs, they put it on their shoulders, and they walk around the table. Matzah u'morer munochim lefonecho. And therefore, Rabbi Yisai, if we talk about our struggle, perhaps, with being misabel, in the tkufa of Bein HaMetzorim, and we don't want Rav Shteyman to have to tell us that, well, your Aveda is to cry over the fact that you can't cry over the Churban. then we have to understand that our struggle perhaps is because it's not tangible. It's not real enough. To be honest, I don't quite know what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't quite know what the effects of the Beis HaMikdash would be in my day-to-day life. I know there were Karbonos, I know there was Aliyah Leregel, but how would my life be different? How would there be more Kiddush Hashem? What exactly happened on a day-to-day basis, we're not necessarily aware. So then we're reliving bygones. It's not negea to us. It's not tangible. It's not real enough. So we come to Tisha B'Av, having managed not to take a haircut, not having showered for 9 days, would manage to switch off the music, we'll mumble our way through Kinois, and then we'll get on with our summer vacation. But we said, there's Siyata Deshmaya, it's available for the taking. If a person wants to connect to the Avoida of Bein HaMetzorim, and not just to go through Bein HaMetzorim, rather Bein HaMetzorim should go through him, and he should appreciate the Moed of Tisha B'Av, and to come out elevated and mischazik, then in order for that to happen, we need to prepare ourselves. And Baruch Hashem, Chazal gave us this period of Bein HaMetzorim to make the Avoda real and tangible. And that's why, and this is, as I mentioned, just the introduction, that's why I thought it would be of Te'eles to perhaps spend a couple of moments together next week and the week after to learn some of the inyonim of the Avodas HaKorbonis. What actually happened on a day-to-day basis in the Beis HaMikdash? What happened when Klal Yisrael were Oyla Regal 3 times a year? What happened? What are we missing? And that's why I entitled the series, Knowing What We Had, Feeling What We've Lost. Because if we don't know what we had, then we can't possibly feel what we lost. Because as we mentioned, our Avodas Hashem has to be real. It has to be tangible. And if we don't know what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't know what happened at Aliyah Leregel, then it's all very airy-fairy. It's not tangible. Matzo umoror munochim lefonecho. I need to see a Hashveirish ring being removed. I need to hear the doctor say, don't act like that Choyla who died. That's very real. That's very tangible. So Be'ezus Hashem will be able to reconvene next week and the week after and try and learn these inyonim together so that we'll come to Tisha B'Av indeed knowing what we had, feeling what we've lost, and we'll be able to be'ez Hashem see a kiyum of the words of Chazal, Kol ha-mis'abil al Yerushalayim, zoicha v'roya b'simchoso, may it indeed be b'nehera b'yomeinu, amen.
Amen. Yashkoach, Harav. Thank you.
Yeah.